What you looking at, Eddie?
There's a little blinking light on my microphone. Is it? I never noticed it.
All right.
Wake up, Steve.
Let's do it.
Wake your ass up.
Tired. All right. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You all set, Eddie?
Ready, Eddie?
I think so.
You sound good.
I've been practicing.
He's probably talking through his headphones again.
Been practicing.
Practicing sounds your good, radio Eddie. Voice?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Welcome back to the M25 show. My name's Albert.
My name is Eddie.
And I'm Steve.
Well,
and here we are.
Good morning, everybody.
75% back, of the show.
Good morning.
Eddie's back. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm good.
Eddie's back from Tijuana.
I wish.
Eddie partying down south of the border.
No, nothing like that.
I don't know what to tell you, Eddie. Glad to see you. Glad to see you back.
Good morning.
I'm sure the audience is happy to see him back, too.
Is this shit starting to freeze again?
Yep, you're starting to freeze.
Oh, good. Maybe we can end the show early. I'm not in the mood for this shit today.
What's going on?
Hold on, folks. Tune in later on the podcast. I'll put a best of on.
Yes. Sometimes you just gotta say... What is that movie? What's that movie with the S.E. Hinton movie? They made a movie with Emilio Estevez and...
Young Guns?
No, not S.E. Hinton. What's the matter with you? Remember the guy, you go, sometimes you just gotta say, fuck it.
The Mighty Ducks?
I hope not, Eddie.
He told the kids that.
Told the kids, sometimes you just gotta say, fuck it.
Yep. Just hit the Hawks with a stick.
Oh, gosh. No, Eddie, not that one, sorry.
Not that movie.
No. No, I don't know. It'll be all right. I don't. You know what? I don't even care.
We can
I don't
tell.
Even care. I mean, if it happens, it happens. You know what I'm going to do? I'll take a break when it freezes. Eddie, you like breaks, don't you?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I don't know what it is. I was having problems with my internet. Like, Friday or Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
Kept buffering. Yeah, I don't know what the heck was going on.
Maybe something's going on because it was good. It's been good for a while. Mm-hmm. Really good. Maybe it's just, maybe it's the weather.
Maybe because Alyssa's not here. Internet doesn't want to work hard.
Speaking of people at the workplace, you guys know, you know, have you ever in the past, just people that are worthless?
Yes.
And, just straight worthless.
And who think they're the shit?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for me, this place wouldn't function, but, you know, they own.
Yep. And I have a few of those.
No names, Steve.
I'm not going to give names, but, God. you know, I'm going to, I know some people, you know, I don't have very many friends, but I just know acquaintances, you know, especially people, people that work at like, I can't even say this because there's some people that work at certain places that are good. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that come from the same places and they're shit. They know everything.
Yep.
Oh, if I was in charge of this, I would have this business cleaned up, and I would be running on all 12 cylinders.
I'd be the CEO, yeah.
And they can't even handle their own job that they're doing at that moment.
Right? Can't even do their work, right?
Yeah, they can't do their work, but they could if they were in somebody else's position higher. Oh, they would have everything fixed. Oh,
yep,
everything. It makes me sick because I know people like that.
Any of that means they'll just take care of the buddies. And, you know, they'll do less work. The buddies will do less work, and you, the stiff, yeah, you'll be doing everything.
Yep.
Why they sit there and tell you don't do nothing?
It makes me. It just. God. I don't like it, Eddie. It makes me
frustrating.
It makes me ill. Yeah.
Frustrating, huh?
No, it's not frustrating. It's just when I look at them or that person they, or whoever
they,
you know, it just like, oh my God. It makes, I don't even talk to them when I see them or, you know, once I get that, that they just, and then they don't like to work.
Nobody likes to work anymore. It's like,
well, you know what?
Well, nobody ever really liked to work. I mean, they just knew, you know what? This is part of life. You got to go to work to make your money and live.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at a workplace just because I like people. I mean, I'm there to get paid.
Right.
You know? People got this wrong somewhere along the lines. It's like, it's cool to hang out with people, but they think like, oh, well, you know, you just show up to work, you know, like we don't get paid. We're just happy because we like to see people's faces. No, we're there to make a page, get money, but work for it too. And that's it. If you didn't pay.
And be fair, you're freezing up. But, you know, you don't mind working, but, you know, you want to do other people's work too, and they get paid.
Yeah, I don't mind working. I actually enjoy what I do, but. Yeah, sometimes.
Well, if they didn't pay me, Eddie, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I'm sorry. Maybe you would work for free, but not me.
No, I wouldn't work for free, but I enjoy what I do.
Well, yeah, we didn't have
you
to
know what?
If we didn't have to work a M25 show 7 days a week, we'd be here having fun.
Eddie, I know what you're saying. I don't mind work either. You know, if I'm getting paid, hey, I'll learn to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if I don't like it, you still got to do it. You got to make a living.
Gotta make a living.
But you're not gonna catch me unless it's something like trying to do something on your, you know, like a business or something. You're trying to build your own business, or you know, you're doing. You got to put in your time and you know your money or your free time.
You got to do the extra work. You know,
something that you love. You know, that's okay. But if you know, if you're just gonna waste 8 to 10, 12 hours to go hang out with some fuddy duddy people that are working for checks and you're just rolling in there for free, that ain't happening. I gotta be like an actor with Scott Hamm, you know, and then I'll do that shit for free because he's a good dude, you know. But like if I was acting with you guys, hell no, I wouldn't show up for your movie. So you got me all upset now.
If Eddie and I were getting paid for these streams and podcasts and you weren't, you wouldn't be here?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. You know what? That's lucky for you two and it's lucky for Scott. Because we would have a show today.
Well, there would be an
okay,
MP5
look,
show.
I got to calm down.
No, Steve.
Got to calm down. Okay. I'm in a good mood now.
Take a break.
Now I'm in a good mood because I'm thinking about, because we have Scott coming on and I watched a movie that, that he did, and I really like it. First of all, I was watching it, I was like, damn. Then when it was over, I was thinking about it the next few days. I was like, you know, that movie stuck in my head, and that's a good thing, right? When a movie sticks in your head.
Yeah.
And you know what? I apologize, guys, because I didn't share it with you because I didn't ask Scott. And next time he makes a movie and he sends me a copy, I'm going to ask him so I can send it. But I know I've sent you guys copies before, and you know, and then I ask Eddie, how did you like the movie? He didn't watch it. And then I look like an asshole in front of our guest. So I don't know where to go. See, like I'm saying, in the workplace, I can't win. Can't win. You know, we got actors that come on, send us sneak peeks of a movie, and I send it to you guys. And what do you do?
Yeah, because
we have a live show, and I go, how'd you guys like the movie?
You send it at 2 a.m. the morning before the show.
Oh, here we
go.
Yeah,
we can't watch it right before the show.
No, don't even start. But anyway, Scott's coming on, and Randy, I don't even want to hear you in the comments right now. I'll talk to you later.
Is Randy who you're talking about?
No. I'm very upset.
Don't worry. We know who you're talking about.
No, you don't.
Thing one and thing two.
No.
You're upset because people don't pull their weight?
Hold on, we gotta breathe here.
Eddie, just calm down.
Yeah,
let me breathe. We're having a good show. I'm not gonna. You guys, I know what you're doing. Both of you try to take me down like hyenas, and you're not gonna do it today. You see, when I'm suffering, you both jump on me.
Get it, Steve.
Where's Alyssa? Don't pull their weight. When Alyssa's here, she protects me. But
you know, Steve Dugan here. You all turn against me.
Here we go with the Dugans. Okay. Scott Ham.
We're your friends, Steve. Just remember that.
Oh, you see, when somebody tells you, they look you square in the eye and say they're your friends. Uh-huh. People, if you're listening on the podcast or the stream, be very careful. Be very careful because
I can attest to that. Steve's told me he's my friend many times. And
I've never said you're my friend.
Especially when you want me to give you bad advice.
No.
I'm coming to you. You're my friend. Yeah. Forget you. You make your own decisions.
People watching the show, don't think just because we're doing a show every week that we're hanging out, drinking beers, and buddying around. Hell no, we don't.
There's a reason we're on our own boxes far away from each other.
As soon as the show's over, I'm out of here.
The best thing that ever happened for Steve was the pandemic, you know, getting us out of the studio.
We used to get together in the studio, and now we don't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a whole nother show. We'll talk about that later. We got some good stuff to talk about.
Therapy is after the guest.
Yes. Okay, so we got our guest coming back. He's got a new movie coming out. I believe, I don't want to say the wrong date. Sky, I see you, Scott. Is it May 7th? Can you shake your head, yes or no? Okay, May 7th, he has a new movie coming out. Scott Ham, let me make sure I say his last name right, Duenas. And it's called Final Wager. And I saw the movie. I really liked it a lot. Like I said, when it was over, I was thinking about it the whole week after. And I even sent him a message. I go, you know, that was a really good movie because I thought about it the whole week after. And movies like these indie movies, they need to be spread out because there's good movies made, Eddie.
Yeah, there is.
And you know, and they're not maybe posted like one of those big budget movies where it's all over TV commercials and everything. And there's good indie films out there, you know, and I'm glad that we get to share these with people that listen to our show and the actors that are cool coming on our show to help promote.
Yeah, I think some of the best movies are independent movies.
Yeah, and Eddie, if I'll ask Scott if I can send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch it, and I got to tell Scott not to jump on my ass if they don't watch it because they're grown. You guys are grown men. If you're gonna watch it, watch it. But
I don't think Scott's ever.
I
don't think Scott's ever jumped on your ass. You're just projecting there.
No, I'm saying on you guys. I mean, hey, I watched the movie. I wasn't dare gonna put you guys on the spot because you guys screwed me already a few times when I sent you movies. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring out the guest.
Yeah, you said we didn't get time to watch him. I'm sorry.
You see, Scott is in the waiting room and everybody watching. You can see how we get along. This is how we really get along. I'm surprised. How many years have we been doing this?
Oh, we've had plenty of fights on the show.
Oh, yes. 10? And after, you don't even want to see. There's chairs being thrown around. TV's knocked over.
That's why Steve had to remodel his house.
Let's get our damage. Let's get our guest, Scott Ham, Duenas. It says, where's Scott Ham? We got people in the comments already asking. I know we're late, okay? We're having an M25 fight. Just hold on
there.
We
know where the money is, folks. Don't worry.
Jeez.
Okay, Scott's on his way.
Let's bring our guest out. Hey, Scott.
If he's not hiding under the table now.
Yeah. What's up, fellas? Good to see you guys again.
Scott, I'd like to apologize for these two up here because
this no should be
this
man,
should
man.
Be happening.
Good dudes, man.
Dan Spence says like we demand Scott immediately.
Oh,
well, hey Dan, is
what's
Dan
up,
was Dan in the movie or just a
no? Yeah. Dan is a black belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor who I've had the pleasure of learning under, and he's an all-around really good dude. That could destroy us all, so be nice to him.
Okay, well, I apologize, Dan. Let me start off the same.
And he's always very supportive, and I'm very supportive of him. You guys are ever out in L.A., going to Waves Jiu-Jitsu, man, and go see Professor Dan if you're in L.A., and go Waves Jiu-Jitsu, man. The guy's the best instructor around.
What is the studio called?
Waves, like ocean waves.
Okay, Waves in L.A.?
Teaches you smooth jiu-jitsu, but can also get a little rocky, too. But he'll work that out with you, man. He's awesome.
Okay. Waves jiu-jitsu. In L.A.
Yes.
What do you call jiu-jitsu instructors?
Jiu-jitsu. It's Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is the one where, like, if you watch MMA now, when anybody goes to the ground... Yes. That's what they're doing. They're doing jiu-jitsu, all that stuff where they're arm-barring and triangles and
choking them and everything.
Wow. All that all that stuff. That's what that is. It's a really cool sport, though. I found it over the past couple of years, and it's been a while. I like it. I love it. And Dan beats the hell out of me whenever he gets the chance.
So since he's a black belt, is he an instructor? Is he an instructor?
Yes, he's in it. He's in a very, very good one too. Very always positive. He's good with kids and adults. I can't say enough about him. He's the one that's really made me enjoy the sport because I have fun every time I get to see him. He moved far away from me, so I don't get to see him as much. He went to a different club, but I pop in as a guest visitor. I follow him around like a little fanboy, so I'll pop in every now and then and bug him and try and get a free class in from him.
So an instructor, do you call a master, or what do you call master?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you call them professor.
Oh, professor. Professor. I didn't know that. Okay, Professor Dan.
Professor Dan. Once they're a black belt, you call him Professor Dan. Yes. They're all kind of different martial arts have different things they call the instructor or the black belts. But that's the one in jiu-jitsu. It's professor.
Okay. Well, thank you for
introducing. How long would it take you to get to the black belt, Scott?
Yeah.
Scott's a black belt?
Not a black belt. Dan is a black belt.
I said, how long would it take for Scott to become a black belt?
I think everyone is different. You know, if you get a guy, if you get a 20-year-old ex-college wrestler in there that goes 4 to 5 times a week, you could probably do it in 4 to 5 years. I think the average is reading and seeing around is like probably eight years is a good thing. Someone like me, it'll probably be
20
more in like a 10-year range, because I'm a twice a week guy. I'm an older guy and started a little later, but I love it. I flew through white belt because I was addicted and did not want to have the beginner belt anymore. And then I'm in one of the middle belts now. I'm in blue belt, and you kind of know what you're doing, but you're not a beginner anymore. But you're in that middle range where the high belts beat up on you and the low belts think they can still beat you because you're not quite that level yet. So I'm in, but I would say it's a different path for everybody, but. I think fast is 4 or 5 years, and I think 8 to 10 years, 7, 8, not, in that range is probably a good range for a normal person. It's not like you guys were talking about when I jumped on, working and all that stuff, work and life and all those things. You know, you can't. It's hard to get there 5 nights a week, and then you get older too, and that's one of the sports or martial arts that you actually have to spar every class and. So you take a few injuries here and there over time. So it's a little harder on the body than I think going in and signing up for like Taekwondo or something where you do a lot of kicking, and no disrespect to that sport. It's just it's a little more physical. You have to be ready to be physical in this one because
you take a beating every class.
You don't necessarily take a beating, but there's definitely, when you get, as you get a little older, things that you're definitely wrestling or grappling. Like if you guys wrestled in high school or if you've ever wrestled around with your friend messing around and then the next day you're like, geez, I'm sore. You're usually doing that at the end of every class. It's probably 2 to 4 rounds would be the average, and 2 to 4 5-minute rounds. So you can wake up kind of sore, and sometimes if you go with a big guy or something, and just like in basketball or baseball or football, anything, once in a while injuries happen. You twist an ankle, or you roll an elbow, or you get, someone headbutts you and busts your nose. It just happens. Not a lot, but not to make anybody scared of it, because it's a great sport and it's well controlled, but it's inevitable. You're gonna get banged up every now and then.
Well, I guess people, if you're listening, and go see Professor Dan at Waves in LA.
Yes. Waves Angeles? In LA. And me and him met at Legacy. I'm going to give them a shout out too. Legacy MMA in Burbank. There's one in Pasadena and Glendale as well. It's a fantastic MMA gym. And that's where I met Dan until he branched off to do his own thing over at Waves. But both of those are Legacy is a tremendous school. And it has a lot of different things, and it's a big school, and it's great. It's a family atmosphere too. You can take your kids there, and the dads can get in there and do it too. And they train a couple fighters, so they got all levels there. So they got everything there. They're fantastic. Can't say enough about them. And they've they've changed my life for the better. I think it's better. It's been great for my mental fitness and my physical fitness, and just getting. I feel like I'm getting to play a sport again, like I did back in the days of high school and stuff. You have teammates and practices, and if you want, you can compete still. You can be in a whatever age or level you're at. You can find competitions all around.
You know what, guys, Alberto, Eddie, I've learned something here about Scott.
Yeah,
he really likes jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
and his professor.
I do, and there's yes, I've loved this new combat sports MMA stuff that I've been into. I should start posting about it maybe one day. I've kind of always just kept it to myself, but you know, maybe it'd be fun to post some.
See what
some
happens, Scott, when you come on the show. You know,
things you happen. Guys just fill me with ideas, man, and like all these.
We're gonna have your professor.
You guys know a little bit about jiu-jitsu, so there you go.
Hopefully, your professor gets some calls. Just everybody, look up Waves. If he, I don't know if he has a pro social media pages, or are they just gonna
absolutely.
Look it up? Oh, he does.
He's everywhere. It's on Instagram, Facebook. You could go just to Waves, so that's easy okay. to remember, and then it will link you right to Dan Spence, man. Hit him up, get a private with him. He's amazing. Right.
Just because of Scott, everybody, if you want to go look up Waves on Instagram or Facebook, it's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu place, and go check it out. Scott talks
highly about it. Come down. Tell me, hit me up. I'll go down and meet you down there, man. We'll do a class together.
All right.
I'll protect him from Dan the best I can.
Look, I hope Scott talks about our show like he talks about other people. Good Lord, I like the way he promotes.
Hey, 100%. You guys are like my OG. I think you guys are the very first podcast I ever did. So you guys are like near and dear to my heart. You guys are the best, man.
And, hey, I'm just glad it was. If we were your first podcast, we didn't kill your career. I'm just grateful for that. That is.
or it could be vice versa. I didn't kill your show. People are like, man, I thought. I was tuning in to see some beautiful girls, I thought, or something. I'm stuck with this guy.
Well, if it helps, you know, before you came on, you're in the waiting room. We were talking about how sometimes we have fights and stuff, and mm-hmm. things are throwing around and stuff. Well, the first one we ever had was when you were on after the show you were on.
Oh, really?
It was the biggest fight we ever had.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I'm glad I could do that for you.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about your new movie, but what I did is I got a clip of the trailer, and I'd like to play it.
I would love that.
You can let us know how this came down, because I found out some stuff where it was recorded and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. And
cool, yeah.
And let me just play this here. Awesome. This is a trailer for Scott's new movie called Final Wager. And I'll let you say the people that are starring in it when we get back.
Okay, so here we fantastic.
Go. I came in here 6 months ago because I almost lost the love of my life because of my gambling. And with the help of these meetings, I proved to her, and more importantly, I proved to myself, my gambling days are behind me.
Mom, what has happened?
I was going to wait till after Christmas to tell you.
She forgot to pay her insurance.
What if I could come up with the money?
I'd need the full amount on December 26th.
No bets, okay?
I won't.
Hello?
Hey, Ian.
I need some money quick.
Never gamble. You're way out of a debt, man. I want you to log into your gambling website.
Calculate how much money you've won.
Versus how much you've lost over the years.
I haven't lost a bet on Christmas in 9 years. I need a bookie. Who do you like? 30K on the Charger.
30? Are you high?
He's going to place a bet that he cannot cover, and he's going to ruin his life and Lisa's life.
That is an engagement ring.
What the hell am I supposed to do with this?
I need you to hold on to that stuff as collateral and get my account turned back on so I can bet again.
You're not slick, bro. You're acting exactly how Lisa's dad would act when he was on a gambling tender.
Are you gambling again?
No, of course I'm not gambling.
Look, I know you said that you would leave me if I ever started gambling again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Now you see how that came right in the middle? Alberto, you're telling me to click that? That was part of the video.
Okay.
But I tried to click off, so it was just the trailer. But
don't
I think
start fighting. Everything was okay.
I think because it was one of those... I got it from Scott. Good. I got it from Scott. I just copied it from him.
Please, Scott.
The one that you took there, yes. It, we we had to make two little edits. That was the one we made specifically for Instagram, so it had to fit the screen and then also fit the minute 30, so we didn't have to cut story it and all that stuff. So there's a couple little weird cuts and we compressed it. So you guys didn't do anything. That was our Instagram trailer. So yeah, I could have sent you the regular trailer too, so you didn't have that, but you know.
Hey, hopefully that's good.
That works.
Mean, don't worry, Scott. We had the problem with our intro. I think the first time we played it, Pete's music, it's cut that way for like Instagram, TikTok. So yes. We were all,
you know exactly what I'm talking
we
about.
Were
exactly.
We were on the sides waving. So
yeah, we're watching the trailer with everybody.
Nobody's fault.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
Nothing wrong. Okay, don't worry.
Okay, well, Scott, go ahead.
Looks good.
Yeah,
it looked good. I'm gonna pull Scott up solo here, and you could tell us about the movie, who's in the movie, and all that good stuff. Okay, go for it, Scott.
All right, the movie is called Final Wager, and it's got an amazing cast because if people, you know, unless you've been under a rock, everybody knows at least, if not the name, they know the face of Michael Madsen, who he stars in this. He's in a big part of the movie. And he's been in everything. Just I can't even list his resume, but if you've watched any Quentin Tarantino movie, both Kill Bills, Reservoir Dogs, The Hateful Eight, he's been in all those movies. I was so excited that he was part of ours. And then even if you go back he's been in Donnie Brasco. He was Sonny Red in Donnie Brasco. I mean, some classics. He was also in The Natural as Bump Bailey. He was also in Free Willy, if that, you know, and Thelma and Louise, he's been in everything. He's huge. And he was so sweet to be in our movie. We also have a nice cameo from Tom Arnold. If everybody, you know, married to Roseanne Barr and was on Roseanne, also was in The Best Damn Sports Show and True Lies, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So those are our two big name stars that we had in that in our film. And then we have a terrific supporting cast for people who love like the boy band era. Trevor Penick is in it. He plays Ty, and he was in the band O-Town, who I believe had three top 10 singles and was the original Making the Band on ABC. He was in the original Making the Band reality show on ABC, and then they formed the band O-Town, and yeah, they had three big hits, and they're still touring to this day. I think he was just in Las Vegas doing a show, so it's pretty amazing. And to round out a really talented group, there was Fernanda Romero, plays the female lead. She was a big star in Mexico, and now she's made her way over to American television and movies, and she's doing fantastic, immensely talented and beautiful. And then our kind of comic relief and really fun part, tremendous actress Jennifer Daly, who plays Stitch, who was just, she just brought an extra little something to this movie that really needed. And she has a terrific performance. And that's the main core of the cast. We also have Waymond Lee from the Workaholics TV show. If you guys were into that, everyone remembers Waymond. And and some other supporting people that are fantastic, but that's the core cast that I love. And the movie is, it's about a gambler who finds out he can't lose a bet on Christmas, but he's promised everyone in his life that he's going to stop gambling. But now that he knows he has this kind of mystical, I don't know if it's a Twilight Zone-y power, or is it a power, or is it a delusion that this guy's going through? Anyway, he thinks he can't lose a bet on Christmas. His family gets in trouble, and he's got one day, and he thinks maybe gambling his way out of it is the way to go. But he's got to keep it secret from everybody who he promised he would never gamble again. So that's the gist of it. And you have to tune in to see how it goes, if it works out for him or exactly. If it doesn't. And if he loses everybody, or if he ends up losing a bet on Christmas, there's a lot of little twists and turns shoved in there at the end to make it fun. I think it's a really fun movie. I think it's a good movie. It's a fantastic script written by Jerry Artukovich. It's directed by Kenny Yates, second time that I've got to work with Kenny as a director. And I think it came out really, really well. And I can't say enough about it. I'm super excited for May 7th when it comes out.
May 7th. Eddie, you got a question for Scott?
Yeah, look, the movie looks really good. Is it's not based on true events, is it?
It's not based on an actual true event, but the writer, the guy who wrote it, is someone that I've known for a while now. And have I been a gambler in my time? Absolutely. And me and the writer used to go on little gambling binges and stuff. And he said, I got this story, man, that I want to write. And now, and I really, it's loosely based on you and the way I will watch it. He gambles very, very small. And sometimes mm-hmm. I gamble over my head. And that's what kind of gave him the gist of this. And then the rest of it is all kind of made to be a fun story with that being the premise. And yes, he says it's loosely based on watching me run around the casinos and the sports books in Vegas. And so I go, I don't know if I take that as a compliment or if you think I'm a degenerate or which way, but yeah, but it's not a true story, but definitely based on some things mm-hmm. the writer said from meeting me.
So they got the, what do you call that? Not a true story, but they got the, Berto, what word am I looking for?
I don't know.
The gist? You know, when you get the they got the gist from Scott from watching him.
Not on a specific true story, but you know that's happened to some people and they've told their stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've definitely had
a girl in my life tell me I can't stop gambling or they're going to leave me like she does. Yeah, I've definitely had that happen before. No more going to the racetrack. No more going to the card club. You're coming home to me or I'm out of here, which I don't blame them.
And that was before we say where it was filmed. There's mm-hmm. a Terry Duenas,
his brother.
Hey, that is my uncle.
It says Scott. Let them know in your acting career you fought Chuck Norris and the Karate Kid. What is this all about?
This is true. One of the
you fought Chuck Norris.
He's putting a little extra hot sauce on it there to make it seem like we had an all-out Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris fight. One of the first things that I ever did, which kind of got me going in this business, and it got me in SAG, it got me like my first like really big TV part, was an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, if anybody remembers that show.
Yeah.
On mm-hmm. CBS, and it starred Chuck Norris, and I guest starred as a high school football player who gets caught up in steroids. Then he comes in. And he plays an undercover teacher who's trying to break up the steroid ring. And then me and him kind of become buddies. And so he's teaching me some karate. And then to teach me, he like kind of beats me up in front of the class to say, hey, watch this. Watch how you can, you know, make him pass out from hitting him in the neck and hit him. And then, there's a fight scene at the end. I get knocked out and then Chuck saves the day. So, but yeah, that's what my uncle's referring to. And then also the Karate Kid thing. I did an episode of that show on Netflix, Cobra Kai. And I got to fight. I got in a big bar fight with the actor William Zabka, who plays Johnny from all the Karate Kid movies. And he's also the star of Cobra Kai. And so I got to fight him. So yeah, I got to, if he says it like that, he's right. I got to fight some pretty cool guys, man. Chuck Norris and then William Zabka, Johnny from the Karate Kid. I mean, come on, that's pretty. I gotta give myself some. That's pretty cool. So yes,
that's pretty cool.
Those are the two things. Yeah, two of the coolest things that have ever happened in my life. They're definitely in my top 10 of cool stuff that I've gotten to do.
Very, very cool, Eddie. I know you got. I know Eddie's got a lot of questions because that's just Eddie. I know you didn't.
Good. I love questions.
Go for it, Eddie.
Let's get into.
Let's see.
Your movie
comes out on May 7th?
It comes out on May 7th, and the platforms on it, it's kind of, when I post about it or tell someone, it's always a little bit tricky, so this is a good question. It comes out on May 7th, but as far as the streaming world, like Netflix, Hulu, and stuff, it's exclusively on an app called Vudu, which is, in essence, owned by NBC and Fandango. They owe it, but it's like in competition with, like, it's a smaller app, but they're coming up on they're trying to compete with the Hulus and the Netflix. So they have our movie exclusively for the first 30 days. So it's only streaming on Vudu, but it's real easy. If you have a smart TV or a Roku or a Fire Stick, you just pop in Vudu, download the app for free. And then you find our movie and it's going to be one of the featured movies for the month of May. It comes out May 7th. And then also, if you're not a streaming person, it's on everything cable and satellite. So if you have a satellite dish or you have cable, you find it just by going to the search bar and hitting final wager. But exclusively on the Vudu app on the 7th. And then after 30 days, we'll see where we land. If someone else wants to acquire it, like Hulu or something exclusively, we'll be there. And then if not, we just kind of open it up and they throw it out there on Prime and Tubi and everything. And then we'll just kind of be everywhere. But we like it when people get us exclusively. It's a good thing. They give us some. You guys were talking about these movies that have these huge budgets to promote and do ads and commercials and things like that. Well, you know, we don't have that. We don't have that kind of budget because that's immensely expensive. But when you get an app like Vudu that gets behind the movie and says we want it exclusively in exchange, you know, sometimes you get some compensation. Sometimes you get they'll do some commercial. They'll be in charge of getting you some commercials and some ads and things, which is super valuable, especially for a smaller movie. You know, we're not Fast and the Furious or Aquaman 6 or whatever. So we need stuff like that. So yeah, man, May 7th, next week.
What was it like working with Michael Madsen? And
wait a minute, how do you spell Vudu? I'm sorry, Eddie. How do you spell Vudu?
V-U-D-U.
Okay, well,
like voodoo, like voodoo.
V-U-D-U. Eddie, D-U. Write that down because I'm gonna make sure you get that app. Okay.
Yes.
Please.
And I will send you. Make sure you can give those guys the link and the password for sure.
Are you sure, Scott?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. You guys are. Everybody on the MT20.
Scott sends me a thing and he says, hey, you know what? I'm sending this to you because I trust in you and, you know, don't share this. Yep. And I do exactly what he's ever said. Mm-hmm. And
and I should have clarified that they could see in Steve's defense. Yes, it comes with this big, huge disclaimer. If it's before the 7th and I send it to people, I have to put a big disclaimer on it because if someone, you would never do this, or you guys would never do this. But if someone turns around, throws it on YouTube or something, or does something really shady like that, the people that own the rights to our movie, the distribution just goes crazy because they feel they're gonna they can lose a lot of money and a lot of stuff, contracts, things that are above my pay grade, and they tell me do not give this out to anybody. But they understand we have to do it to promote the movie. Some people have to, you just have to trust them. But you send that awful lawyered up disclaimer that goes with it that's supposed to scare you guys are cool, man. Please check it out.
Hey,
so yes, Senator, I would love for you guys to watch the movie. I think you'll like it, man. It's pretty straightforward, like gambling movie.
I think Alberto, did the professor just leak the movie?
What now?
Or am I seeing wrong here?
I see a link there, apps.apple.com, something, something.
Scott, it's,
I think not... he's trying to, what he, it's the link for the Vudu app.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was going to have thanks, to get my brown belt out.
No, he didn't. No, Dan's the man. He'll go on and he'll download it just like and watch it. He's the best. Okay. He'll probably be one of the first ones and send me a message. He's very supportive.
Eddie, I know you have a question, but before I forget, Scott, when this comes out, is there going to be a hard copy? Because I would like to get a hard copy from you because this is the second movie that I got. I would get a hard copy from that I really love. I liked your Stay movie.
Oh, nice.
This one a lot. I don't know. It's still in my mind. I love it. It's great.
Thank you. That's awesome. I like it too. It's one of those movies, like, it's not trying to be super cute. It's not trying to be super independent. It's just like the straightforward story, which, like I said, it's basically a guy who has to decide, does he gamble to help his mom out or does he not gamble and lie to his girlfriend and his friends, or does he not do it and let his mom just get evicted when he needs to get this money for her. So, and then it's got a nice fun ending and it's got, you know, two famous actors in it. So I think it's pretty straightforward and it's easy to like, and I like it a lot. And Jerry, the writer, did a really good job on just a straightforward, fun little movie. You know, there's not a bunch of CGI and all that stuff either, but it's a quick little, you know, hour and a half movie. It's a Christmas movie, sort of. But it's not like a Lifetime Christmas movie, that kind of thing. It's way edgier than that. There's cussing and gambling and drinking and stuff, but it's not. In essence, it's kind of a Christmas movie, just not. That's why we didn't release it on Christmas either, or on a Lifetime or something like that, because it just wasn't that kind of fit that we thought. And we thought about a Christmas title at first, but we're like, nah, let's not do that. It's kind of like Die Hard. It takes place on Christmas, but that's not a Christmas movie, really, is it?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was thinking. It's around. It's on Christmas, but you know it's Christmas.
There's no Santa. There's no reindeer. Yes, it just happens to take place on December 25th.
It's very good. Go ahead, Eddie. I'm sorry. I got a lot to say.
I was just curious. What was it like to work with Michael Madsen, and what's Tom Arnold up to?
Yeah, man. Working with Michael Madsen was absolutely amazing, and I promise I'm not just saying it like you would think. Oh, you know, he's just gonna, what's he gonna say? It was terrible. It was such a great experience because, especially for me, I was a huge fan before this. And when I found out that there was a chance he was gonna do it, then when he did it, I was super excited. And then, but then I was also like, oh man, he's gonna just come in here and be like, you know, I've done these huge movies and I've been a big star, and he's just gonna kind of probably come in and not really talk and just do his thing and leave. And and it was the complete opposite. He was so not, and he always plays a bad guy too. He's so scary with that voice and everything. I'm familiar with his movies, and especially Kill Bill and Donnie Brasco, man, he just plays a monster in those. He was so nice. He, I don't want to wreck it for him either. He was so sweet, and he was so wonderful and such a good actor. And I just had to be careful, like when I would see him kind of doing his thing, to remember I have, you know, there's things I have to say and do too. I can't just watch him be like, this is Michael Madsen talking to me right now. This is pretty good. That's Sonny Black. There's Sonny Red from Donnie Brasco talking to me right now. It really was just a fantastic time to get to work with him and then spend with him. And then he even talked about his old, you know, I tried to let people, when I work with someone that's a big name like that, that's like a million times bigger than I'll ever be, and I just try and be professional. I don't try and fanboy on them. I let them. But he was so willing and nice to talk about all these movies that I loved and talk about the actors and what it was like to work with Johnny Depp and all these different things. And it was just awesome. And, you know, he gave me some advice here and there, which was just invaluable. And yet he was just one of the guys when he was there, man. But like, I remember someone said, hey, you know, hey, Mr. Madsen, we're going to bring your food to your trailer for you. So, you know, you have a place to yourself and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, man, I want to stay here with the guys and eat with them and talk. And he's just awesome. He was just a normal. And as far as acting stuff, he's just a pro, man. And he delivers lines so originally that no one else could deliver them like him, because he's just the way that he goes about it is so different. And I think that's what makes him so interesting and why he's had such a storied career and not stopped working probably for 30 years, because no one can do exactly what he does. And I think he's great in this movie. And I'm just so grateful that he was there. It was a dream. It was really, really a dream. And then what Tom is up to, we only had Tom for a very short time. And it was so fantastic of him to not only do the part, but it was really like, I would say like a cameo, but he just comes in and he steals it because he's so funny without trying to be funny. And he was also a gentleman, and he was very sharp, and he loves to ad lib, and he would just do these takes and just say these insane things. And I usually pride myself on not, they call it breaking, where you like start laughing or you start, and he got me like twice on just crazy stuff though that didn't even make it into the movie, but he'd just say these off the wall things that were just so funny. And it was just, again, surreal to be like, look, this is Tom Arnold, because he had that run there, if you guys remember, where he was really, really big for a while. Yeah. True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger was like the number one movie in the world for a long time, and it's still an awesome movie. And and then being on Roseanne, one of the best TV shows ever, and then being married to her. I didn't ask him about that. I stayed away from that. But I only wish he would have been in the movie more so I could have gotten to spend more time with him. But he's still cranking away. He's doing some movies, and I think he's starting a stand-up tour sometime soon. I hope I'm not saying that wrong, but I think he's going back and doing some stand-up. So people can look for him doing standing up on the mic, comedy. Maybe improv or something. Yeah,
comedy.
Cool. Yeah. Comedy. He's a very, very, cool. Very funny guy.
And Scott, was this filmed in Fullerton?
The whole bar stuff was filmed at Heroes in downtown Fullerton.
Oh, wow. Which
I love. Yes, and most of the movie takes place in the bar. You know, the Gamblers Anonymous stuff and the nursing home and I think a couple other things were at a studio, but the main location was Heroes in Fullerton.
Nice.
And we were so lucky to get them because we wanted a real bar, and to get a real bar in LA for the amount of days and the amount of hours that we needed was insanely expensive and insanely over budget. And so, you know, I have some Fullerton connections, and my mom knows the owner of Heroes. And I said, you know, can you put us together and have him help us out? Do you think there's a chance? What would he do? And they were just amazing. He said, yeah, do what you want. Scott's from Fullerton. And actually the writer who I talked about is my friend, graduated from Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
So we had some Fullerton ties in there to sweeten the pot. And, you know, they were, couldn't have been better. They said, yeah, you can do it, but just do it when we're closed. So we had to film as soon as those doors closed. We were like waiting by the door with the equipment in our hand to run in there and get going. And then as soon as things opened up in the morning, we had to be out. And they were so patient, so fantastic with us. We owe them tremendously. So I'll have to pay them back someday, because they gave us just a fantastic deal. And they gave us as much hours as they could with us not destroying their business, because you know, it had to be that way, because the production couldn't afford to be like, oh, how much do you normally make in a day and a night? We'll just pay and just shut this place down. So we really had to work around their schedule, and it all worked out. So it was cool, great. Cool, and cool. I loved being in Fullerton, man. You know, Fullerton is where I basically grew up, and I love it.
That's cool. And if it helps, I recognized it. I look familiar, but you know, you don't know. But I did in the credits. I saw in the credits. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoever does all that stuff, hey, some people do watch the credits, and I saw, oh, it's Heroes in Fullerton. So whoever does all that stuff, let them know I watched it all, and I go, that's what it looked familiar from.
Good, because we promised them too. We said, we're going to make you so you really see you in the credits. And okay, that sounds good. So, all right, we came through. You noticed it. But yeah, and it was great too, because Heroes is one of those bars that has all the stuff on the wall. So they had a lot of those lights already. So the set decoration team didn't need to like go find a bunch of Christmas stuff to put up and down every single day. Heroes kind of lent itself to it. So it ended up being perfect for us. So we can't thank them enough. Jack and Dave over there, man, you guys are the best.
Heroes in Fullerton.
Heroes in Fullerton. It's the mainstay. It was one of the original bars in downtown Fullerton.
It's been there for a long time.
It was like I don't want to say it was the first, but it was it had to have been right in the, like, one of the first before downtown Fullerton became downtown Fullerton, and there was just Heroes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just Heroes down there. That's it.
Before it started,
there was bars popped on off every... into what it is today.
Yeah.
Although the young cats took it over now, man. Yeah.
Any question for Scott before?
Yeah, Scott. I'm just curious, what are your favorite kind of movies? Is it comedy, action, romance?
What I like to sit down and watch personally,
yeah.
I really, really love a nice thriller. I would say things like, I think Silence of the Lambs might be one of it's top two or three favorite movies of all time. I think One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is my favorite movie of all time. I love trying to figure things out like a puzzle. Twilight Zone was like my favorite television show. So anything in that thing too, where you get like a sixth sense type of deal, and I love that. I really am an easy audience, so I love everything. I like independent movies and big budget movies. I give everything a chance. I'm not a movie snob at all. I know how hard this business is, and so I'll watch it. Anything, I'll watch it. I've been watching a ton of like documentaries and based on true story stuff lately, but yeah, I would say a good thriller, like with a puzzle to it, or with an ending that I don't see coming, because I've watched so many that sometimes and now being in this business for a while, a lot of times I can see where it's going and I usually can figure out the ending, but when they get me is and I go, oh my god, I didn't even see that. That's what I love the most. So I would say a good thriller with a nice twist are really my favorite things to watch.
Okay.
Kind of like Rebroken.
I was just about to say Rebroken, which is, I think we're getting close to a year. It's year anniversary of coming out. If people haven't seen it, please go see it. It's a good movie, and it's that kind of movie. It's a very slow, mysterious, like, thriller, and it's got Tobin Bell from the Saw movies, and he just did the new Saw reboot was last year, right? It was Saw 10. It came out like right, like Christmas, Super Bowl time. So, check it out. If you like him, check it out.
It was a reboot? Oh,
no, no, no.
Part 10.
I probably, because I get so excited, I start talking fast sometimes. The guy, Tobin Bell, the actor who starred in Rebroken, is from the Saw movies. Yes. He's Jigsaw. He plays Jigsaw in all the Saw movies. And last year, they rebooted the Saw franchise. And I think he was out of it for a little while. He did like the first four or something. And then now this one, they brought it back and made him the focal point. It was Saw 10, and he starred in it. It did really good. It was a good movie. And Tobin started it again. He starred in the first one, and then they brought him full circle, starting the 10th one. So if you like Saw movies, check out Rebroken, man. It's a good movie. I'm proud of it. And that was the other movie that Kenny Yates directed. Totally different movie than Final Wager. So
yes.
Whatever you're into, check it out, or have a double feature one night and watch them both. You'll be really sick of me after about 3 hours. Sick of seeing my stupid face.
Final Wager was a good movie. I really liked it. I still like it. And if there's ever a hard copy available, let me know where I can get it.
I'll make sure you get one. At some point, we'll get some hard copies. Right now, everything is straight to digital. But at some point, it will make its way. We'll have to print some up though, for like Walmart and things like that. So I'll make sure you get one. I'll send you guys a couple of them. I'm sure these guys won't have watched the movie yet, so maybe they'll watch it. And I'm kidding.
We'll still be waiting for the link. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott. You know, I'm gonna do something for you that, in all of our honor, M25 show that I wouldn't do for anybody else. If you need us to be in your movie or anything in background for just famous purposes,
we're an extra.
We can do that.
You guys would do that. Thank you so much, you guys.
I would appreciate. Thing, you know, we usually. I mean, it's very very high, but don't worry about it. For you, don't worry about it.
Hey, you never know. Everybody, don't be careful what you wish for, because there's something might come up. And we need like a podcast. And who can we ask to do this? And who will do it for super cheap? And that. Boom!
Hey, there you go.
Man, for free.
Really talented. We go straight to you guys.
Don't worry.
Where's
Steve,
our?
Remember, Steve does. Steve will do it for free. Eddie and I and Alyssa, we need money.
We need to give you guys some money and feed you too, right? Yeah,
Steve doesn't need it at all. Don't worry.
As long as I'm fed.
I'm doing. Hey, if you know what, I'll even pay these guys and I'll do it for free. How's that? I'll pay him out of my pocket, and I'll do it for free.
Just remember to cast us, you know, one of the podcast members in with sunglasses. He gets punched out by the other guys, you know, big fighter.
There we go. See? And, you know, see? Trying to do nice things.
Scott, I have a script approval, okay? So
you guys have a big jiu-jitsu fight.
Get the professor down there.
Yeah.
It'll be a big old mess. Here, but I'm just letting you know that we're fans, and
Well, I put that in the mental Rolodex, man. I'm not even kidding. Yeah.
We can help you we'll spread the word about your movie and
we'll
make posts and do the best we can, talk about it on a show. And
that's all you can ask for, man. It's like I said, just getting the word out little by little, you know, piece by piece. And just because, you know, the stay, you know, it's been out for like 3 years now or something. I think that was the first. And it's actually done really well. You know, it started off slow because it takes time for the word to get out. And then it's done really good numbers. And now we're hoping for the same thing for Rebroken. It's been out about a year. It's kind of been slow. And then hopefully it finds its footing and goes like the stay did. And then this one's got the final wager, the new one. We'd love everybody to jump on board right away with it, because we got some bigger people behind it, and they love to see good numbers and good viewership and all that stuff. So
voodoo.
Everything counts, and we're grateful that you always put us on your show and help us start to get the word out. It's so helpful, so thank you.
Of course, on Voodoo. Yes. It comes out May 7th.
Yes.
On Voodoo. And I have you brought up the stay. Before we get out here, I got to ask a question, because Michelle was in the movie, and I got to ask you. Because she told me what I asked, but was it really a bathing suit or was it bra and underwear?
Oh, that she wore in the scene where she's laying on the bed.
Yeah, just lie to me.
Cheating
Scott,
on me?
Just lie. Lie, please. I blew that up and I put it on my wall.
Did you?
Yeah, and if you tell me it's a bathing suit, I'm going to be really depressed.
Well, she looks beautiful in that shot, and it's a good, it's. I'm being dead honest here again too. I'm not well versed on it. I'm not positive because it was like a hybrid, because she had, then she had that on, and then in the next scene when I come home in the movie and she just throws on pants and goes out there with that top on, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, is that a bra or a bathing suit top? I'm gonna go with it's a bra.
Okay, enough said. Thank you, Scott. Okay. Don't need to say no more. That's all I needed to know. Everybody, final wager. I got to see it, and I'm going to send a link to my other M25 showers. And
please. And yeah, man, it's. I promise you, it's good. If it's not, you hit me up on Instagram, Scott M8, and tell me that it's not. But it's the reviews have been good. So so far, so good. Not that, you know, I put a ton of stock into that because you guys know how movie reviews are. There's, I love them and they're necessary, but sometimes you're like, oh, you guys just aren't getting it. But
it's good. It really is. I saw everything.
It's a good movie. I agree. I wouldn't say that. I would just kind of just say, yeah, it's a movie coming out that I'm in. But this, I believe in it. I think it's a good movie. And I think people are going to really like it. It's a charming little movie. It's got a little everything. It's a little funny. It's a little serious. It's got a little bit of a love story. And it's got, if you like Christmas, so it's got some Christmas aspects to it. I'm sure when Christmas time comes around, we're going to get a whole another thing of promoting it as a Christmas movie, which will be really nice, which we can do that honestly too, because yeah, it takes place on Christmas.
And it's got a little tiny twist in it too.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes. And then Fernanda, you know, for you, she's never, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be cold and Christmas time, so she's fully clothed and the whole thing, but she's beautiful Latina actress that hey, go on her Instagram. She got plenty of stuff for her bathing suits and things. Fernando Romero.
I was gonna say, this is man, this Scott, man, I gotta get into acting with all these hot chicks. I'm like, yeah. Holy moly.
That is a perk. There's a lot of beautiful women, that is for sure.
Yeah, okay, so on Instagram, the people in the movie, can you want to shout out their names and people can go follow them? And
yeah, or you know what, the easier way, and not to take up your time with that,
sure.
Go to the Final Wager on Instagram, and then there's links to everybody that you want to see, anybody in the cast, anything with the movie. You go to Final Wager, or go to me and DM me. I'll throw you their handles, because I don't know if I can remember all their handles.
Okay.
Either, but
that's better.
Real easy to find. Final Wager Movie on Instagram or Facebook. And also, you know, Sky Ham DeWinnis on either one too. So
very cool. And then May 7th, it comes out. And the place to see it is on the Vudu app. V-U-D-O?
Exclusively on D-U, Vudu. Exclusively, okay. Yes. Even if you probably put in NBC Fandango or that too, it would take you straight to the Vudu app. But yes, the Vudu app on the 7th, exclusively for 30 days. And if you're a old school and got satellite or cable, we're there too. Just hit it in your search bar. So it's really, really easy. It sounds more complicated than it is, but it's super easy. You can download the app. They have an app for your phone, for your tablet, for your smart TV. Vudu, V-U-D-U, and you're set. And then go to Final Wager or put my name in. Either way, it'll take you to the movie, or it'll take you to my movies that they have, and you'll find it right there.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Final Wager, May 7th. Download the Vudu app and check out the movie. It's really good, and I give it 5 stars. Is that possible?
Man, I'm going to clip that out. I'm going to clip that out somewhere.
Yeah, put that in the with all the critics people. 5 stars the M25 show. Well, from a fourth of the M25 show, that's Steve. These other two.
Yeah, I know. I missed our girl today. That's cool. She didn't want to show up because I was here. But
she may be watching if you want to say hi to Alyssa. She's homesick.
Oh, feel better. I missed you. And I follow her on Instagram. I'll leave her a message. Tell her that I missed her today.
I'm sure she'll like that because she likes a lot of attention, Scott. So thank you for giving her a little attention.
She deserves it. She deserves it.
And then
Professor Dan or Professor Spence. Yes.
Okay. We got a lot of plugs going on today, but Waves in LA, get some Brazilian jiu-jitsu, go see Final Wager May 7th on Vudu. Mm-hmm. And
miss the M25 show either, man. Check these guys out as much as possible. They're fantastic, and they deserve
Scott,
the support.
I hope you talk about us the way you talk about everybody else when you come on the show, because, God, man, you are something special when you promote. I bet when he talks about us, he's probably saying, "God damn, God, I'm off that show. Jeez, I had to do it for the movie." Though.
Yeah, no, well, don't forget, Steve. He's a good actor, so he's putting on a performance right now.
That's why I gave him 5 stars. He's a good actor.
That is all false.
Before we go, Crumbs Music says Scott's the man. I don't know who the hell Crumbs Music is, but that's probably going to be another promotion from Scott. So,
well, you know what? I'm gonna get myself some Crumbs Music. That's for sure. Thank you. Right. So I like it. But yes, one day when I win the Oscar or the Emmy, you guys will be my first first thing I do, because you guys have been with me from the beginning. So I appreciate you.
All right. Well, you're always welcome on our show. We love your movies. You're a good dude. And
It's my boy Vinny Rojas, man. Awesome DJ. Catch him in LA. Vinny Rojas, Crumbs Music. There you go.
Okay.
There's
you know what? We need to send, you know, I'm pretty upset that I sent Scott a hat. I only sent so many people these collector's items.
I wore it when I was here for Rebroken. I wore it in the podcast.
Yes, you did.
And I bet you, if you scroll through my Instagram, you find me wearing it again, because I wear it to the gym to work out a lot.
Oh my God. He said that last time he was out about the gym. That gym, that thing must be sweaty as hell.
Oh my God. I wish I would have known. I would have bought it. It's got the white. It's got the white stuff on the top.
The sweat line.
It's almost, I can't wear it anymore, because that white stupid sweat line you get. And I
this is
like
why you got to go see Final Wager. This guy is a hell of an actor. You got to go see it. I'm just messing with you, Scott.
I know, man.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. You're welcome anytime. And I'm gonna watch the movie again, and I'll send the links to Eddie, Alberto, and Melissa. And I'm sure they're gonna enjoy it too. And we're gonna have you back on soon.
I appreciate it, man. You guys all have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. And thank you again. I'm grateful for you guys having me on.
All right, Scott.
You too. Take care.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that was Scott Hamduenez. Final Wager coming out May 7th, Eddie, on Vudu.
Looks good.
But I'll just send you the link now that he says, like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I think probably, the mic's still on. He's going to say, those fucking guys. I hate that fucking show.
Fucking bastards. Yeah, I'm going to cast him in the movie.
Yeah, like Stevie, put him in the movie. Fuck that guy.
We'll be doing a podcast, you know, 10 armed men will come just shoot us up.
Real bullets.
And it's a comedy. It's not even a drama.
Oh, gosh.
You might have to kick out Scott. I think he just closed his laptop in. Click out.
Scott, he's going to be on the phone with Michelle and go, you believe what that pig Steve was asking if you were wearing bra?
God damn, he's still on that? Fucking pervert.
I was going to ask him if is the movie rated?
It's too late now.
Eddie's
gonna... No, I was going to ask him, but...
Unless he needs to use the computer again. Oh, now he's gone.
There he goes.
I was going to ask him, but...
Probably streamer.
But we kept talking, so...
No, I'm just messing. Scott's a good dude. Crumbs Music.
Rated PG?
No, it's not rated PG. It's probably rated... No.
PG-13?
G?
PG. Is PG-13 less than rated R?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
so it's PG-13. If you're 13 or over, you can go in without a parent.
I would say PG-13.
I mean, unless there's a lot of nudity and violence.
Mature?
No.
Mature? Rated mature?
Rated X.
There's no nudity. There's no sex. Like no naked sex, penetration.
Well, then it's probably PG-13.
Yeah.
Adult teen themes.
It's really good. It's really good. I really liked it.
Looks good.
It's got that dude from, I noticed him right away, from Pulp Fiction. He's been in a lot of movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Arnold was in it for a little bit.
He's a judge, huh?
He's a judge?
In the movie. Looks like it.
No, he's the guy that runs the home where he has his mom in that home. When they live in a
retirement home?
The retirement home type thing, yeah. Where they take care of him and shit. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. I'll let you guys watch it.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
All right.
Sounds good.
So his mom's in a retirement home. Thanks a lot. Now.
Well, he said when he was talking that he's got to make a bet or something. Yeah. Or does he make a bet, or does he just let his mom get kicked out?
Final wager.
He's got to make a final wager. Let it all hang out. Does he? Well, I can't even say. He's got a girlfriend, and she doesn't like him gambling because he used to be hardcore.
Don't let your woman control you. You want to gamble? Gamble.
Well, this guy, he was out of control. He was like Nick in Vegas. just saying, screw it, after, you know, his fiance was getting lap dances by big old dongers. Just... All right, that's I don't want to be bringing Nick up right now.
Oh, I'm sure he enjoys it.
Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. Hey, okay. I got a question, Eddie. You know, your kids are growing up now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to when you
need some advice.
Let's go back to when your kids were in elementary school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if you found out maybe your kid had an accident at school, right? Let's mm-hmm. just say they pooped or peed. No, let's say they pooped in their pants.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sent to the office to the, I don't know, what would you send them to? The nurse or somebody to, the hey, school. You need to call their parents and maybe
to send the nurse, home probably or, the nurse.
Probably the nurse or something. Vice, the principal or whatever, the nurse.
The office.
Or the office lady. Office.
With the note saying, hey, you know, you need to call their parents and either send them home or get a change of clothes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up, the office sends them back to class, you know. And how would you feel as a parent if you found out that happened? I mean, that they just said, oh, just send them back to class, and they ended up sitting like that all day at school.
Oh, no, that's a normal. No,
as a parent, I mean, yeah, if we think about it, it's like, who would do that? But, I mean, as an actual parent, how mm-hmm. would you feel about that if you found, like, your son or something, they did that
to your
son?
I'd be upset.
Okay, but if you find out the teacher actually said and go, hey, you need to, with a note saying you need to call the parents, but they just totally overrode the teacher.
They ignored it?
And thought it was, yeah, and would think, you know, probably they're upset. Too busy for stuff like this.
I'd be upset.
What do you think, Alberto? I heard a story about this, and I hate talking about it, but I gotta talk about it because shit's all screwed up today.
Yeah, I'd be upset too. I mean, it's like, at the very least, you have to contact me if something like that happened. Unless it's such a small. I mean, if the teacher says, you know, please contact this kid's parents, I think you want to contact the parents.
Yeah, because I have information on like the story, because it's a real story that the teacher actually said, hey, it was really a hardcore strong smell,
mm-hmm.
where the whole class was. It was in the whole room, so. Why they went to the office, this child, why they didn't
send him back.
Smell it or, you know, or investigate more. Look, you know, look on the, because apparently there were stains on the pants and everything. To me, it sounded like they were just too busy and didn't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, the teacher called the parent and said, hey, you know, I think you need to come down and bring a change of clothes mm-hmm. because, you know, your child might have had an accident or you know, sat in something. You know, you can't say, hey, yeah. I think they shit in their pants, or you can't say they stink or nothing like that. You have to word it a certain way.
They sharted.
And the, you know, the parent came down and they had a change of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But the teacher was upset about it. That the office were like, and I guess, you know, when people talk, you know, and you have, you know, teachers, they have friends there too, right?
And you have mm-hmm. They all know talking. Each other.
Yeah, you hear people talking in the office, and you hear, like, it was kind of like, oh, why did they send this kid in here for something like that? You know, it was no big thing. And then it gets back to the, you know, and, you know, it's just, people just don't want to work. And especially like that, you know, and they don't get onto it until you start bringing in the higher ups for something like this. Like until superintendents
until you threaten to call some their supervisors or something.
Then all of a sudden, oh, well, what was going on? Well, you know,
everybody's on it.
We sent a, there was a note sent to you and it said exactly what happened. All of a sudden they want to all be a part of it now because
all
they
of a sudden it's all hands on deck.
Here's the only thing I could think about if I was in the office and that happened. Yeah. Is that, you know, the teacher sends the kid with the note, and then the kid comes into the office and he's crying, no, please, no, don't call my parents, no, please, don't. I mean, that's maybe the only way I would do that. And then I don't know what happened in the office. I don't know the story. But, I mean, I'm calling back the teacher. You know what? He doesn't want his parents called.
Okay, I get it.
I mean, that's
But like, you can't even do that. Let's say that happened, but it didn't happen because apparently the kid said, no, I didn't go poop or whatever, but she saw the stains on his pants.
She smells it.
It could smell the strong aroma, you know.
Yeah, smell.
She could smell it. And let's just say your thing happened like that. And the kid's like, oh, no, please don't call. I'll get in trouble. And they have to call because you're putting those other however many kids are in that classroom at a
That's biohazard at that point. I mean, like, when we work, you know, in that room, when somebody shits on the floor, you know, we got to go in and clean it up. You know, it's, you know, you can get sick from it. Yes, I understand that. I don't know if I would send them back to the classroom. I don't know what you can do at that point.
Well, they could have kept them there. You have to do something. You can't just say, oh, because the kid's crying and I don't want him getting in trouble with
his
parents.
Go back to class.
Yeah. And then, you know, the parent did come on. The teacher called, came and brought him a change of clothes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the parent apparently cared.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, I don't know. It's just, it was a story that I heard and I just wanted to share that I'm thinking as a parent, if office people, a nurse or principals or whatever did that, I would be pretty upset. I'd go down there. If I could, I would have told them, hey, you should call the parents like you did to have them come down and go down there and tell them that they would have let your kid sit there all day if I hadn't called you.
Mm-hmm.
And let them go rattle them around. So next time something like that happens, they'll think twice about, you know, I don't want to deal with it, you know. Maybe it's just a little poop. They'll be okay till they get home. I mean, it's just not. They're kids.
Yeah.
I wonder what age, what grade was this within?
Does it matter, Eddie?
No, it doesn't matter.
Fourth. We'll say fourth.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. You need to call the parents.
Yeah, you need to call elementary, the parents.
I say fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got a lot of stories, Alberto.
So I was gonna say if it was like.
Yeah, to buy junior high, you could.
Junior high, you could. Tell the kid go take a shower and then give him some shorts or something.
No, it was elementary. And okay, I'll say this: the teacher was upset.
Yeah, I would too. I would be too.
And a lot of emails were sent to the higher ups, and I guess shit came down. And when it came down, they called to talk to the teacher, and they were upset about it. And the teacher started questioning, going, well, why didn't you do this then? Why didn't you do that? And they had nothing to say. And she's all, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do, but... And then why couldn't they... She's all, the nurse couldn't smell anything. And the teacher goes, well, were they wearing a mask? And she wouldn't answer the question. Apparently, they were probably wearing a mask, so they didn't smell.
Or probably just walked in and go, man, get back to class. And like didn't have enough time.
Probably walked in and with the mask, one of the surgical mask on, and go, I don't smell nothing. Then get back to class.
Well, I think you can still smell stuff through those things. So,
well, from what I was told, it smelled the whole classroom up. So if it didn't smell the little nurse's room up, they either didn't want to deal with it or I don't. If somebody shits, it smells. I don't care how much you hold your cheeks together, it's gonna stink.
Maybe there was Febreze in the nurse's office.
Shit, you just walk, one cheek wiggles, it's over. You're gonna get a.
They had a good air freshener in the nurse's office.
Maybe they just opened bottles of bleaches and sit it on the shelves. Anyway, so yeah, my point is if I was a parent and I found out about that, I'd go down to the school and go, hey,
yeah,
this is not. I'm happy that the teacher called me. So at least I can get my kid cleaned up. And I know it's embarrassing. The kid's probably going to say, no, I didn't go to the bathroom in my past because they don't want the kids making fun of them. Or, you know, there's ways to say, oh, well, you know, he probably sat on something. You know, can you come down and change him? Even though he did shit in his pants. You know, there's ways to go around it. You don't want the kid to be embarrassed either. But that's pretty hardcore, Eddie.
Yeah, it is. It's too bad.
I think we should go down there and protest.
You don't want enough of that. So.
Everybody's protesting now.
Everybody's protesting.
What the hell's going on with the protest now? What is?
I bet you half those people. I bet you half those people don't even know what they're protesting about. They're just bandwagoners.
That's just everything's out of hand, Alberto.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kids can't even go to school.
Yep. Cancel graduations because people protesting or classes. Can't go to class because.
Nope. And yeah, I'm thinking they don't want them to go to class. That's part of their protest. So, okay, we're not going to let you go. So nobody's in the classroom. So it's I don't even know. What does that do? Like, isn't out there protesting enough? They have to keep the people that want to go finish their class out of the classroom. What would be your theory why they wouldn't let them? Because
they're not thinking about other people. They're not thinking about other people. They're just thinking, oh, everybody else is doing it, so we'll get in on it too.
No, but why would they keep, like, let's say Alberto was going to UCLA, and then they had a line there, people locked up and said, no, you're not going to class today. I get the protest, but what would be the reason to keep you to going? Keep a regular person not protesting and going to class.
They're saying that the people they're protesting for, you know, they have it worse. So, you know, they're getting killed and bombed and all this. And boo-hoo, you can't go to class. You know, think about, you know, the people that are worse than you. That's probably their underlying thing. When they block a building or when they block a bridge and you can't get to work, you know, why are you crying about not getting to work? People are dying out there.
I think that's what you're doing is not as important of what's going on in the other countries.
Yeah. When you're protesting when you're inconvenienced to people, that's what they think, you know. You know, your life, you know, if you're stuck in traffic, your life is not as bad as, you know, these poor people over there.
But I get it. What do you think about, I don't know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but
you know, that is,
if they feel that strongly, why don't they go back to whatever place they're defending and go out there and help or in some way? I don't know how they would help, but it's not doing anything here.
Fight the war.
Or whatever. I mean, they're keeping. Well, I mean, this isn't the U.S. of A. I mean,
because
whether they think we're helping or not helping.
That
them.
Is not their original thought. You know, they are power brokers. You know. Rich people funding this, and they feed lines to these people in the camp, you know. And you're doing it for this, and you're noble, and you know, yeah, fuck those, you know, students who want to go study for their finals, you know they're privileged, you know, and you show them what the world's really about, and they, you know, the power brokers are out comfortable, they're not getting beat down by the police or daring the police to beat them, and you know, and then they get hit in the head and they cry.
And there's a lot of there. I hear there's like a lot of around, not just in one place, but a lot of school, of colleges. There's thousands or millions, right?
It's a social contagion, as they call it. You know, it started, I think, in New York and Columbia, and then you know, you're another school somewhere. And go, oh, I want to be like them too. I want to be on the news. I want to do my part. So and a lot of these other schools, they start small, and then, you know, powers to be billionaires who want to, you know, destabilize everything, you know. All right, you know, we'll send a few professional agitators and a little bit of cash and, you know.
Get it going.
Yeah, where do they, you know, I saw a thing on Twitter go, you know, like those planks of plywood are like $50 each, and, you know, they put a whole border across their land, which is funny, you know, they don't think we should protect our border, but you know, the first thing they do, they get their land, they set a border, and they put their little checkpoint. You know, you don't come in unless we say you can come in, and all this BS. You know, there's money behind this. You know, it's not. I mean, I know a lot of them are, you know, rich kids who are bored, but you know, there's power behind them. So.
Yeah, this is so dumb. It's like. It's always on other properties and stuff. It's like you never see anybody protesting in front of their house or damaging their house. I mean, and I get it. They'd probably say, well, if we did that, we wouldn't be on the news and it wouldn't get around. Yeah, you would be on the news if you did that at your house and you were trashing your own house just for being stupid. You'd be on the news.
I'm going to invite a whole bunch. Coverage. I'm going to invite a whole bunch of my like-minded friends to come trash my house.
Yeah,
Channel 7. Yeah, there was a reporter out there. Look at these morons.
Eddie, do you think they should just bring in the military and clean them all out and get them out of there? Not kill them, but just say bring them in and just kick some ass and get them all out and say, hey, this is not how it works here.
Yeah, I mean,
Because there's a lot. I didn't know there was that many people. They were telling about the numbers all over in the United States, and there's a lot.
I get peaceful protesting, but when they take over, that's too much. They have tents camping out and stuff.
Like the schools
can't even go to school.
Schools need to get this. I mean, if you're an administrator of one of these colleges and they just spring up and there's like five of them, you stop them there, okay? Because like I said, you know, people. There are power brokers behind this. Like, they're just looking, and they'll see, you know, M25 college somewhere, you know. Oh, there's like 10. All right, let's send a whole bunch of people, and we'll rile up a few more, you know, useful idiots. And all of a sudden, you know, you got a camp, and then now 1 week later, you got a real battle with the police.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm sure, like some of these, like, spring, okay, they want to have a rally in the afternoon. Okay, that's fine. But then, you know. Like I said, like a few.
It's over.
Yeah, that's it. But then a few decide to stay overnight, pitch a few tents, and then the next day there's a few more, and then, you know.
Even that. Yeah,
and then
even
3 days later, you got an armed camp, and then 1 week later, you got the brawl for all.
Yeah, I get all that. You know, say you're getting big people, and I don't like when they're setting up camps and all that, but, you know, but then when they're not letting people come into school, it's like, no, you're not going to school today.
We own it now.
No, you don't. You know, I'm a student. And I'm either A, paying tuition, or my parents are paying tuition. Fuck, get the fuck out of the way. Let me get to my classroom. Let me get to the library. Let me get to the food hall. You know, fuck you.
I bet you a lot of these people are probably not even students from the school.
I tell you,
they're not.
Yeah, but if they were, and they were paying their own tuition, I bet they wouldn't be. Because some of these schools are very expensive colleges. Yeah. I bet they wouldn't be doing that if they're paying $90,000 a year or $100,000 a year for school. Mm-hmm. I bet you they wouldn't be doing that. I mean, the percentage would be, hey, you know what? I'll do it after I graduate or something. Or that's a lot of money. Unless somebody's paying for their schooling and they can just say, somebody's paying for me anyway.
If their parents are paying for them, what do they care?
You can't even run the risk of you getting kicked out of school, right?
Yeah. Why do you think they wear masks?
Yeah.
So they don't know, or they don't want to talk on the when there's live people there, news people. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I ask you? No.
Yeah.
Nope. It's like what? What the hell? You're here protesting? Don't you want your voice heard?
What's your name? What's your thing? Leave me alone.
It's embarrassing. This is embarrassing. The U.S. of A.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's happening. But like I said, a lot of the people probably don't even attend that school.
No, it's the mayor of New York said that about Columbia. It's like, what was the thing? Like, a lot of these are outside agitators. They come in.
Yeah.
You know, and believe me, when the police move in, they're the first one to scamper out the back.
Yep.
And
they come in and rile up the crowd, and then they bail.
As Che or Castro said, they call them useful idiots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You watch that X-Men movie, I think the third one, when they're fighting in San Francisco. And Magneto, they're going to storm this facility. And all these mutant runs, and Magneto holds back with his, you know, main henchmen. And they have that weapon that cures the mutant gene or whatever. So they're like shooting them down. And what does Magneto say? In chess, that's why the pawns go first. Believe me. The kids who got knocked around by the cops, the people who were riding them up, and you're doing it for this, and you know, your heroes, they were the first one out the back and scampering away. Onto the next college, you know.
Yep.
And they get what they want, you know. In their minds, poor little students getting beat up by the mean police. So, you gotta know what you're watching. It's just a show, and you gotta know what you're watching. If you want to believe in them, you'll believe. Oh yeah, you know, these mean cops taking out these poor college kids. But you know, it's all an act. And you know, next week it's like a reality show. Next week, new campus, you know, new beatdown.
It's just, I don't know. It's hard to see that stuff, and it's like, you know what. They're protesting. Okay, they're protesting. They don't like how a war's going, or who's helping who. You know, look, I don't like people then, getting killed either and all that, but
hold your demonstrations. You know,
we're not in the we're not in a war.
Give your opinion. That's it. Let people live their lives. Some people aren't going to care. Some people are just going to follow it on the news, and that's it. And, you know, they'll have their opinion. That's it. Sorry, no.
Who's at war? Who's at war right now?
Other countries.
Israel.
Not Israel. Us.
You know what?
What's happening in our country? The protests.
Don't mention any names. It doesn't matter. It's just.
My point is we're not even involved, and we probably shouldn't even be. I mean, like I said, I'm not a cold-hearted dude. I don't want people dying anywhere, but right. You know, everybody's got to take care of themselves some way, somehow, or there's, I don't know, but it's happening here about all this stuff going on outside of the U.S., you know, and
yeah,
everybody, and then the ones like, they don't like the U.S.
A lot of them don't.
It's like, why are you even here protesting? Burning the flag, and it's like, dude, if you don't, or chick, or dude, what it don't, it's okay to live here, though.
Yeah,
it must be okay to live here.
They love living here, and you know, they're so brave. You know, we're talking power. You know, we're standing up to power. Truth to power. Bullshit. I mean, yeah. they know. They can say whatever they want. I mean, and they try to frame this, you know, this takeover, trespassing, you know, all this stuff, you know, that is just free speech. No, it's not. Okay, if you, like I said, if they have like a 2-hour rally in the quad of the campus, you know, nobody's going to beat you down for that. It's when you take over. It's when you, you know, storm buildings and keep people out who have every legal right to be there. You know, that's when you're met with force, and then they start crying.
Well, that's only way to get it in control, I think. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because it's gotten so out of control.
Out of control.
It's not even. I mean, I know they started arresting people, but there's too many right now. For the cops, it's like, I mean, they can get a lot of them, but not, there's like a lot of I'm not talking
there's
thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah, I mean, you can put them in the, I guess you can hold them for, you know, 24, 48, whatever, and that's it. I mean, you can't process that many. You have to, I mean, figure them out, find some ringleaders, and, you know, sorry, I mean, most of them, you know, who were just camping out are going to be out on the street in a few days, I mean, hours, really. Probably let them straight out of the bus, take a picture, and, you know, all right, get out of here.
I don't care for the protesting. I mean, it's out of hand. But, like, when you're stopping the kids from going to school that don't want no beef in this.
Yeah.
And they just want to go to class. That's where it's, I'm trying to think, why would you even keep a kid? They could just say, hey, that's cool, you're protesting, you know, like, Viva Las Vegas, whatever, but they'd let you go to class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I would be kind of okay with that. I'd be like, okay, at least you're letting people go to school who want to go to school. But if you're just saying, nope, you're not going to school today, and then I got a problem with that, because people like Eddie. Look at Eddie. He had to put his kids through school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then, you know, the situation he went through with, you know, paying your kids to go to school, you know, what do you call it, at Alamo, all that stuff. There's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Imagine if that was happening to your kid.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
You're dumping all that money in, and they won't let him go to school, and they're saying, well, just pay another year, Eddie. You'll be all right.
And it's not like the school's not letting him go to school. It's other people.
Yes, it's not even the school.
It's not like the school said, you know, I mean, okay, we have to close this classroom or this building for, you know,
it becomes unsafe.
I mean, I get mad when the school gives in, you know. Yeah, okay, well, we're going to do remote learning now because, you know, it's not safe.
No.
Clear these people out and let the students, if they want to go to the classroom, go to the classroom.
I just don't understand why the process doing that. Just to say that, hey, we control this campus now, or I wouldn't. Why would the hell? I don't even understand. That's the only reason I can see is be saying, hey, this is our school now.
Yeah.
And
well, any of these takeover,
this is over, you can go back to school.
The thing they had in Seattle years ago, Chaz or something, that they just took over a neighborhood, and you know, it's I don't know what they're trying to prove. Oh yeah, we can do it better. And yeah, if you listen to the stories from the inside, and believe me, stories are going to come out of these, you know, college, you know, camps that aren't going to be that flattering to them. So
all I can say is whatever they're doing, it's two sides, right? What's going on outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say one side wins. They say, okay, well, you can't. I mean, it's not, it's whose job is it to fix the problem that they're protesting about when it comes down to it? The president?
No.
Hey, what are we going to help so-and-so in the war? Are we going to help these people? We got people protesting these guys and these guys.
You know what?
And we're trying to help both, but they don't like that. So we got to pick one or the other.
Sorry, you know, that specific problem, we've been trying to fix it and help fix it since before I was born. Okay. And, you know, forget it. I mean, that's for
the
them.
The best way probably would be not to help either.
Yeah.
Because, and then people will still be mad. But I mean, if you help one, imagine the other side, yeah, they're going to get all.
Well, right now, don't worry. Right now, we're helping both. So, it's that meme. There's rockets from both sides. You know, my tax dollars, somehow also my tax dollars. It's.
Eddie, what do you think we should do? Silent majority. What should we do over there, Eddie?
Over there, where the war is?
Everything to calm everybody down, to stop protesting. What would you do as president of the United States? We're calling Eddie. Mr. Eddie from M25, president of the United States. What do you do to settle this
just,
whole thing?
You know what? Just launch all the nukes and end it all. God, that's no. Humanity had
got more show to do, man.
Humans had their chance. You know what? After the 10th anniversary.
What do you suggest? What would you do if you're on TV right now, Eddie, doing a, what do you call that, Alberto, when you come on TV?
Press conference?
Yes, a press conference. It's all over.
Or a speech.
A speech, a nationwide speech in the U.S. of A.
Address the nation.
Address the nation. There you go.
I think they should send in the National Guard and just clear them out. Get them out of there.
Okay, but what about what's happening? Why they're protesting? They're protesting over the wars outside of the USA. Are you going to do anything? Or are you just going to let it play out the way it's been and just take care of the problem in the U.S.?
The war, I think we should support our allies. I believe that.
But like then, Alberto said, we're supporting really both, really, right?
In many ways,
In a way. But the protesters, there's one side saying, no, don't help them. And the other side is saying, no, don't help them. So it's kind of, that's why you got this big mess right now.
Yeah.
So you would clear everybody out with the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully it plays out okay.
It's what's going on down there is biblical. It's in the Bible.
I mean, President Eddie says, you know, I'll read the Bible, whatever the Bible tells me.
No, it's read the Bible, and it says, you know.
Do they let them fight it out or what?
No, it's just they're this has been going on since the beginning of time. Those.
Okay, but what do you? Okay, we know this, and we know there's going to be these fightings if you read the Bible and you believe in the Bible. But you are the main compadre of the United States. You're the president. What do you do? Do you keep helping both in a low key and?
No,
or
you
do
just
you go out and clean just, one you, of them out yeah. and knock them out of the world, or
you help? You can't do that because.
But you're sending weapons to one, you're sending weapons to the other, you're sending aid to one, you're sending aid to the other. You're helping, just keeping it going. Basically, when people run out of when they need more ammo and they need more weapons, who's helping them? When the other one runs out, what do? We help them.
Yeah,
so it's just going to keep going.
No, it's not going to keep going because. It's going to end at some time.
It won't end. There'll be a.
It'll end. There's going to come a time when all that's going to end, because in the Bible it says.
Oh, well, that
they bless end. God's going to bless those that bless that country, and it's going to curse those that curse
that's
it.
So. That's not going to happen anytime soon, so we got to deal with the real world.
You never know.
Okay, let's say that happens.
And in the Bible of the world, I mean, sorry, it's the end of one chapter, start of another.
But what I'm saying is, let's say it's not going to happen for a while. I believe it'll happen too, Eddie. I'm all with you with that. But let's say it doesn't, and you keep supplying both of these countries or whatever with things that they need to survive and to fight. And you keep just like giving money to your kid, and he's spending it on stuff he shouldn't be, but you keep giving him money to spend it on stuff he shouldn't be. When does it stop? It doesn't, because you're going to keep giving him money to doing the things he should learn not to get, you know, whether he's spending it frivolously or whatever. You know what I mean? Once you stop giving him the money,
I think
he's
either going to
figure it out.
They should go after the people that started the war, the group that started the war. They should go after and try to get rid of them.
Okay. I don't want to put Eddie on the spot, because I know your beliefs, and yes, that's all going to happen one day. But right now, what's been happening is we help everybody. That's what we do. We help everybody. And it doesn't stop unless somebody goes, hey, you know what? This has got to stop, or we're not going to help no more. Or,
well, don't forget,
I don't know how they stop it.
Eisenhower warned us, you know, there are people making money out of this. So.
Oh, yeah.
And as Orwell, I think Orwell says it in 1984, is, you know, the objective is not to win the war, it's just to keep the war going.
Eddie, we got your homeboy Ramon on. Would you want to read his comment?
Yeah, there's no real answer. It's all about money. There is so much money in this, there isn't one answer. The funny thing is, I'm sick of or Trump, pro Biden, pro left, pro right, news flash to all of you. None of them give a fuck about you. They will shake your hand for a vote and forget you in a millisecond. Nobody gives a fuck. So I just get up, go to work, and stay close to my family. That's it.
And that's all you can do.
You know what? I kind of agree with that. I think we do what we take care of us.
Yeah.
And
take care of your family. And
that's it. I mean, hey.
Can't like control the reason.
Everybody thinks we, US of A, is the savior of everybody. And that's nice to have that championship belt. But I think that's how wars are started. Oh, you're not going to help us?
Oh, yeah.
We're in trouble. We started a war and we're in trouble. Or, hey, we need this, we need that. And if we don't help, we're the bad guys.
We picked a fight with a bigger power and now we're getting our butt kicked. Please help.
Yeah. And,
you know, it just like these students, you know, they decided to pick a fight with, you know, big institution. And they
and
get their butt kicked.
Institutions, I get it. They don't want to do nothing because they don't want to look bad. Because, like you said, if they go in with the SWAT team and they get beat up or whatever, however it works, then they look like the bad guy. But you're not supposed to go on somebody's property and shut down business like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're supposed to do that. Like I said, go protest on your front yard, your house.
I think a lot of these. I mean, they see the process of the 60s civil rights protest, and they go, we want to be them. But they don't act like them. You know, was it right? You know, if you were a black person, you went to the white soda shop and sat on the counter. You know, they did that, but, you know, the cops came and dragged them out. But, you know, they didn't fight. You know, they didn't trash the, the business.
Yes, the establishment.
There is a way to do it, but I mean,
you know what I think we should do? We should go to UCLA
and watch softball.
They already tore up the place, so we gotta wait for the next school.
We should go to UCLA and watch the softball game. We'll go to the shop, where we can buy sweaters and hoodies or whatever. That's all we want. We'll just say, hey, we just want to buy a sweater.
Okay.
And see if we have to start fist fighting. And then we could put your YouTube video on that Alberto's always wanted to do videos on YouTube, right?
The Adventure of the M25 Show.
Yeah, you can see Eddie, Alberto, myself, and Lissa fist fighting people for UCLA sweatshirt.
We'll go viral then.
I'll just pick it. We'll pick Eddie up and just throw him in the crowd and see how they eat him up.
You know what? I've seen the videos. We'll just send Eddie. We'll give him an American flag. Have him wear us a cape. And go into the crowd, Eddie. Nice knowing you.
Looking like the Macho Man.
we'll give him Hulk Hogan's music.
No. I'll head down to the softball diamond.
We'll make him a shirt that says, "Screw both your sides."
Yeah.
Both your protesting sides. We'll just toss him in the middle of the group.
I'll walk to the softball stadium.
Okay, Eddie, and we know you want the softball girls. they'll probably beat him up worse.
I'll go sit there and watch softball.
They're gonna go. Out of everything that's going on, you want to go watch the softball girls? Let's get him. Let's get Eddie. Let's get this guy.
I was talking about the softball team. If I kick his ass.
Oh. Oh, funny. Ramon is on a good one. The funny thing is they will protest but won't pick up and go and try to solve it over there. Exactly.
Yeah.
I get it. A lot of our tax dollars are going to this BS. We are giving aid to these countries when we need help here. I agree. Alberto, that comment shows you're so pro-right. You had to throw your comment they see the right protest, but they never did all the looting. Yeah. Come on, bro. You can't even hide it.
What did I say? I was on their side. I said they did it right.
Who did it right?
I'm guessing he's talking about the 60s, but I mean.
Oh.
I mean, they were in the right. I mean, they were right, fighting for the right cause, but they didn't destroy stuff.
Yeah.
Ramon,
he didn't say anything about it. They said they protested, right? They didn't burn down cities or loot or all that. They just...
I mean, it sucks the way they did it. But they knew that the way for them to do it is to be peaceful and show that the other side is just, you know, the way they treat them with water hoses and dogs and all that. You know, these protesters now, they think they're the same way. Oh, we're just peaceful, you know, and look at these evil police coming beating us up. But when you're blocking access to people, to the school, people who don't care, you know, I mean, you can say a march in Selma, you know, maybe inconvenience some people, but it was planned, I'm sure. They told people, you know, I don't know. I think Ramon just didn't get the point of my statement, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, if you protest, I mean, that's the freedom of the US of A, right? But I mean, as far as you take it is another story. I mean, once you let it get too out of hand, it's not going to stop until.
Yeah.
You get somebody or something bigger than that to stop it, because I even think the police are not big enough to stop how many of these protesters there are. They could come in and get hundreds a day, but there's thousands around the US of A.
There's not enough police officers.
There's not enough. And, you know, like I'm going to say one thing is when it starts, okay, keep an eye on it. And before it gets too out of hand, before you can't even handle it, you might get bit in the ass because you're not going to be able to handle it.
There's powers to be when behind these big protests, these takeovers, these encampments. It's not your average student. You know, they're there. You know, because other people manipulate them into believing they're doing something. And like I said, when the shit goes down, those people, the manipulators, the powers, they're out of the way, scampering off to the. To the next. Okay, Eddie taking calls.
Somebody heard him going, Eddie, we heard you on the show. If you were president, that's all you would have to say. You're the leader of our country, and that's it.
President Eddie's taking calls from the generals as we speak.
he's on fire up the jets. or it's his bookie, one of the two. I'll take $1,000 on the Dodgers.
The bookie got mad. We had a. Oh, Scott on the show. Why is he making a bad gambling movie?
He's a hook 'em. They didn't invite us on there, Eddie. Come on. Look at Eddie's going. Yeah, give me 500 on the Dodgers tonight, and
I'll parlay that.
Yeah, just keep it rolling. If I'm doing good, just keep it going every day.
Let it ride. give me 100 on red.
He's all, come on, you got to front me. He's all, Eddie, I've been fronting you. You're a little bit in the hole. Look at Eddie's all serious. Come on, man. Just one more bet.
Eddie, you've never lost a bet on Christmas. So, Eddie, you've never lost a bet during the M25 show. So.
There you go. Yo. He's like, yeah, I just watched Final Wager, and I think I got that luck.
Yo,
I know it's not Christmas, but it's
$30,000 on the Dodgers.
Yes. Just roll it all on there.
All right, let's end the show while Eddie Eddie conduct his business.
All right, we'd like to thank our guest, Scott Ham Duenez, for coming on our show. He's got a new movie coming out May 7th called Final Wager. You can watch it. What is it called? Exclusively? That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
Exclusively on Vudu?
Yeah. Vudu.
Vudu. It's a Vudu is an app. And it'll be all you do is download the app on your phone or TV, smart TV. And it'll be the exclusive movie of that app. So you'll see it right away. It's called Final Wager.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good phone call for Eddie because I've noticed he's just been listening. He hasn't been saying anything. So I don't know what's going on there. What happened?
He says this Peter Pan ride has changed you, Alberto.
Yeah, okay, get off of that.
Oh, here comes Eddie. Yeah. Let's see what happened.
I hear a bell ringing. It's back to your cell there.
Eddie, what happened? Are you firing up the jets or what?
Yeah, turn on your mic, Eddie.
Turn on the mic, Ed.
No, it was my mechanic.
Oh, oh boy.
I thought it was who's in charge of the military that they check in with the president?
The Joint Chiefs of Staff.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff?
Was that the Joint Chiefs of Staff going, Eddie, we need to do something now.
President Eddie.
Over and under, how many times Alberto looked at me scared on the ride? You guys really wanted that Peter Pan together?
I don't know. I do not remember this, so...
Good God.
I'm very sure I went with Nick's girlfriend and Nick and Ramon held hands.
Oh, no. You guys all three were in the same...
No.
Wait, it was two, three?
Two and two.
So who are you with?
I'm pretty sure I was with Nick's girlfriend.
Why would you be with Nick's girlfriend and Ramon and Nick would be together?
A bromance over there.
Doesn't even make sense. It sounds like Nick should be with his girlfriend and you and Ramon would be on a boat.
She knew who the winner was.
Where you get time, I'll tell the real story. All right.
All right.
I think we need to know what the story is because
Ramon,
I can't see Nick not hopping in with his girlfriend, but he'd rather sit with Ramon.
You don't know him and Ramon.
So you remember sitting with the girlfriend of Nick?
I said I don't remember. I'm thinking this is the way it was. Otherwise, I'd be traumatized because even back then, that was a lot of weight on that pirate ship, okay?
Eddie, what do you think happened? Do you think Alberto was with Nick's girlfriend on the ride or Nick was with his girlfriend and Alberto was with Ramon? There's four people. There's Nick.
It's a kiddie ride, so that you can fit two adults on it.
No, they only went two in a ride. There's Nick, his girlfriend, and there's Ramon and Alberto. Who do you think paired up, in your opinion?
Alberto and Nick's girlfriend, and then.
You think Alberto went with Nick's girlfriend?
We weren't making out, okay? We're friends. Jesus.
I think they just went on the ride together.
I just don't understand that. If I went to a place with my girlfriend, I'm sitting with my girlfriend. If I want to sit with the dudes, I'm going to say, hey, you're not coming to the Disney with me.
Right.
I take her to Disneyland and I'm sitting with dudes. Well,
Ramon says he'll be here one day to tell a story. So, you know, maybe we can start a show like an hour later so we can get him during his rec time.
What we're going to do is one day when Nick is available and Ramon, they could both come on together. We'll have both of them on, and we're going to go back in that day, that Disneyland day, and we're going to find out what happened in that dark cave.
Dark cave.
Or whatever, that Disneyland ride. Peter Pan. And Alberto,
What happens in Neverland stays in Neverland.
I can't. If I rode a ride with a dude or another guy's girl, I would remember. Alberto, what do you do all the time? You ride with chicks all the time?
It was so unimportant, I don't remember.
But how often did you go to Disneyland with these four?
I don't know.
A lot of times? Hundreds of times?
I don't know.
Lots?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't take notes.
Well,
jeez.
Eddie, if you went to Disneyland with me and Alberto, would you be able to count them on one hand?
Yeah, once.
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, did you go with them to Disneyland like hundreds of times or 20 times?
We went to Disneyland. Give me the date.
Okay.
Okay, you know, you don't remember. You remember you went.
Okay, did you go with them multiple times?
I don't know.
We went all the time, so we always change
partners.
It doesn't
matter if it's one time.
Okay, me, you, and my wife and my son went to Disneyland once, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, now I explain the whole day. What rides did we go on?
I didn't go on any rides. You went on rides with Matt. Which, you went on a Toy Story ride or something. Yeah, I didn't want to go. And I got out of line or something to go to the bathroom or something. And
yeah, thumbs
you
up.
You guys made it in. But I remember. I mean, we were gonna go on Matterhorn, but it was something happened. It broke.
Actually, and that's the only thing I remember because I think you brought your son back and you had to get him in line and you stayed out. But, and that's really it. I don't remember anything else.
But I remember.
I don't remember. I mean, that's the only. I don't remember the ride. I don't remember the score. I'm sorry. I guess I should have been taking every one of my visits with somebody.
Okay,
I better take detailed notes.
It would be like this. Say me, my wife, and my kid went to Disneyland with Alberto, right, Eddie?
And it happened one time.
And I was just riding rides with Alberto.
Mm-hmm.
I would remember.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would, because that would be the talk when I got home, going, man, you didn't even ride a ride with me. You were with your friend Alberto the whole time. I don't know.
Whatever.
I remember I only went once. I remember we went on the haunted. I remember everything because I don't go that often.
I remember
if
the
we
haunted,
went all the time.
I remember
if
the
we
haunted
went
house.
All the time, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now I remember the haunted house. I forgot about it, but now you reminded me. And
you know how
happened.
I remember is how? Because I only go once every 20 years. So okay. When I do go, I remember.
Well, I go a lot, so.
That's why I asked.
But I don't know how many times I went with those four. I know I went with Nick and his friends. Another time, okay. I think Ramon was part of that. I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay, we're gonna get Nick on, and we're gonna get Ramon.
Okay,
and
they can tell the story.
Yes, and I think the truth's gonna come out, Eddie.
Ramon, I'm sure you think you're telling 1 or 100 billion% of the truth. Okay, I'm not saying I just don't remember.
Okay, so if Nick comes on and tells the story like Ramon will you finally say okay?
Nick asked me to go because he didn't want Alberto to go alone. I go alone all the time. He's like, okay, I have an extra ticket. Sorry, podcast folks, I killed the music. Alberto looked nervous as hell as he was all by himself. Fuck you. I go by myself all the time. How can I be nervous as hell? Okay, now this story's gone to bullshit.
Hey, what is Alberto? Is the you're the prosecutor and the
I'm reading his statement. He goes that I look nervous. I went with Nick and his girlfriend, the three of us, plenty of times, like 3-4 times. Okay, I wasn't nervous.
Okay, calm. We're gonna have to settle this. We're gonna settle this in the M25 show court.
I was trying to make this guy laugh. I thought he was a serial killer. To be honest.
Oh God, no.
I guess this was the day we first met. So.
Oh my gosh, Eddie, we're gonna get this show set up where we're gonna have both of the defendants or the plaintiffs. I don't even know what to call. What is Ramon and Nick gonna be? The plaintiffs? Yeah, they're the plaintiffs
because
they're saying something happened and Alberto's going no.
We'll get it from the horse's mouth.
We're gonna get it from somebody's mouth.
Ramon says perfect. When Nick's available, I will go. We will talk about it. The shit's gonna be comedy. Okay.
We're going to start working on it today. I'm going to see when everybody's available. We're going to get dates down for the future.
As I'm saying, let me make it clear for the last time. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I will. Yes, the four of us went. I do not remember this ride. I don't remember all his BS that I was holding his hand or all this bullshit. Okay. I don't remember going on the ride. If he has a picture, that's...
Hey. We're going to trial. You wait till we get to court.
Don't be defending
yourself.
Eddie, you'll be my lawyer.
Eddie, you want to be Alberto's lawyer?
He's
going to need a good one. That's what I'm thinking.
I'll be his defense attorney.
Eddie Cochran. All right. We're going to have a good show. This is going to be the court show.
And after this, Ramon gets banned from the show.
Well, we got to see what the ruling is. If the ruling goes with Nick and Ramon and Nick from Vegas, you can't ban them just because they won. Right, Eddie? If they win.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be fair, Alberto. I'm going to hear Eddie out.
Eddie.
I'm going to hear who's going to be Ramon's attorney, Nick.
They're representing themselves,
Nick,
I believe.
Nick is going to be the attorney. Then, hey, I favor you. I shouldn't favor nobody, but Nick, I'm trying to defend people.
So it'll be the second episode of the M25 People's Court.
It'll be the jury.
All right. We'll get this set up, and we'll get down to the bottom nitty-gritty of this story of
can't
people
wait.
Riding Peter Pan ride and how they came out.
All right.
All right, we're going to get out of here.
2-hour show, man.
Yeah, so we can all make right up from the week we lost. Oh, I got to talk to you guys after the show. Let me see here. Oh, you know what? I keep forgetting to put the banners up. Oh, well. Time to go. We'll see you guys next week. Same time,
NaturalWonders.com. 25% off when you use the show, the code M25 show. The M25 show.
Yes. Listening 25% off, Eddie.
Listening to the podcast in the show description, watching us, go to the M25show.com, like right behind me. Go to the sponsors link. You'll find it there.
Damn, said it all just like that, huh?
Pro.
There you go. Look at, I'll even do this. I don't even know how to do it. Okay, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you guys.
I actually wrote a script. Maybe we had time.
Oh, well. Okay, next week we're going to go with a new commercial. It's going to be spread all over the U.S. of A. And not outside the U.S. of A because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. But we'll stick with the USA because Natural Wonders is made in the U.S. of A.
Ramon, suck my dick.
What did he say?
Natural Wonders, Alberto and Ramon with Peter Pan. I gave him my Captain Hook.
Oh, God. Hey, don't be missing our sponsors into there. They hear this stuff, they're going to bail out on us.
Oh, there's the alert.
Oh, Eddie's bet went in. Just find a wager. All right, guys, we'll see you guys next week. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll see you next Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, same place, same channel, and podcast. Go to the m25show.com for all your M25 show information.
It's my final wager for today.
All right, good job, Eddie. Keep betting.
To face stupid reality again.